The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You missed the first hour? Oh, just a good first hour. Sorry. Go back on podcastarena.com when we're done. And right now, joining us as he does every Monday, you can hear him on the bench in the mornings. He's the god of NFL.com, Lance Erline. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're hanging in there, man. What's the latest with you?
Same. Hanging in there. This is the first time I had one player to finish up from the 10 I had to write that I didn't have. So, it was a little weird being done and feeling like I need to be looking at players for next year. It just happens every year. I get so locked in on the repetition of watching tape, writing prospects that once it comes to an end, it just feels weird because I know I have more work to do in the future, but not right now. So it's just a very strange feeling. So, you know, hit in the park with the wife and get a walk in. Now all of a sudden I'm starting to be driven crazy by quarantine, and it's been half a day. I mean, it's different when I'm writing up players sitting in front of a computer turning into a fat ass. But, you know, when I just finished, like, oh, when is this going to end? The shelter in place is terrible.
So, AJ wanted us to put off talking about the Jordan thing until you were here because you wanted to get into it. So, get into
Yeah,
it.
So I haven't heard you guys talk about how much, like, I assume you both like it. I think it's an incredibly well done. I mean, I'm a fan of documentaries, and have been for a long time, of sports docs. I understand it from the purest sense what Ken Burns was talking about, how it's not, you know, I guess it's not cool to have the subject to have any say-so in the documentary process. But Jordan's the only one who had the footage. Like, Jordan had to let the footage go, so you kind of have to deal with it. As far as I'm concerned, it's fine. I don't have any problem with Jordan being involved with that process a little bit because we know we may not get all of his flaws, but we knew he was flawed anyway, and I think there's still, so far, and I guess yesterday's episode is an example, they're showing us his flaws.
I mean, do you think that, I mean, how close to the truth do you think we're getting from Jordan, I guess, is the real question.
Well, I think it goes a little deeper. I mean, no documentary would mean to delve into, was he a womanizer? I don't think any of that stuff, unless that played a significant role in his life or in who he was in terms of his legacy, I don't think it would delve into that. And I feel like we're getting a pretty good sense of the Jordan era in terms of the Tony Kukoc stuff, the Dream Team stuff, his hatred of Krause, the Scottie Pippen, you know, Dennis Rodman being on those Bulls teams. I feel like we're getting a pretty good, so far, a pretty good cross-section of all the different stories that were there. I mean, that's what I feel like, at least.
It feels good. Like, part of knowing, like, obviously we all knew that Isaiah Thomas wasn't the most popular player in the league, but things like that, him willing to talk about it, you know, I don't know if I believe him on saying that he didn't totally kibosh the Olympics thing. My belief is that he did.
Freeze out. Isaiah, I think we all think he did. I don't care
It just seemed like the opportunity for him to say, I mean, now it's almost 20 years down the road. if Isaiah is still mad, or God, I guess it's almost 30 years down the road. If Isaiah is still mad about it, you know, too bad. It's not like he and Jordan are exchanging Christmas cards anyway. It seemed like the perfect opportunity for him to just say, yeah, I just didn't want to play with him.
Well, see, that's the weird thing is it's not like Jordan's ever pulled punches any other time. You know, he didn't even pull punches at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So he doesn't really pull. He says he doesn't like Isaiah Thomas. I mean, I feel like he did, but he hasn't really. I feel like he had something to do with it. And even if he didn't say, I won't play, if he's, you know, maybe he didn't overtly say that, but they just kind of knew. Or maybe what was said was actually accurate, that there were just so many guys who didn't really like Isaiah Thomas, because he was considered a little bit of a phony with the smiling and the kiss and the magic, and he was part of the Bad Boy Pistons. They were not liked at all, so maybe that was part of it too. I got to tell you, I grew up a big Clyde Drexler fan. Followed Fly Slammer Jammer. Remember when he was a freshman, when he came in with Michael Young? I mean, that bit yesterday with Clyde having to relive that, because it was painful watching it happen, watching it take place, that just really, you know, gave me it just felt a little bit different watching Clyde, get eviscerated by Michael Jordan, and then hearing Michael Jordan talk about the fact that that's what he was going to do, because he was so pissed off that anyone else was considered on his level. I mean, that's for a lot of us, when we point to the killer instinct, when it's the LeBron versus Michael Jordan argument, it's stuff like that. I'm not saying he's a great person because of it. I'm just saying he had a nasty element to him that helped to make him great. And it's not, and yeah, we celebrate it because a lot of ruthless people have something that the rest of us are like, man, I don't know if I could be that kind of a-hole. But Michael Jordan, not only was that kind of a-hole, it's what drove him.
Well, I think it also cemented that there, you know, we always think about like who are like tiers of players. And it cements the fact that when Michael Jordan was playing, he was on his own tier. There wasn't another player in the Jordan era, and that's knowing he played with Bird and Magic, although he didn't play with Prime Bird or Magic necessarily. But
right,
there was never a player that he played with that was on the same tier of greatness as him. You know,
no, and even though like Charles Barkley won, right? He won an MVP while Jordan was playing. That seems kind of crazy, but I mean, you know, Barkley played out of his head, but just like you said, there was never any time that one guy rose to his level, Jordan would erase them.
He'd embarrass them.
That from your thought.
It was almost like he wished that he would be on the court with them so he could just prove how inferior they were, whether it was Charles Barkley or Karl Malone or Clyde Drexler, whoever they were talking about at that time, that's who was going to get it. And that's sort of what made it awesome.
Well, let me ask you guys this, since you guys both gamble. So the Jordan gambling stuff, John and I kind of disagreed about this. You know, John's idea was the same one that David Stern talked about, and that, I don't know, there was somebody else on the documentary talked about, where they said, look, he has so much money. $10,000 to you is like $10 for Jordan. And so his gambling losses really weren't a big deal. They weren't a problem. But I think that kind of skirts the issue, which is, I don't think Jordan can stop himself. Like, it's not about, will Jordan go broke? He has made $1 billion off of Nike so far. No, he's not going to go broke. No one's going to say. I don't think he would have to be wagering with, you know, he'd have to be wagering with other billionaires to go broke. But what I'm saying is, I don't know that Jordan, and I do think it has to do with being able to compete. I think a lot of people who love to gamble, they do it for competitive reasons. Some don't do it for financial reasons. That's why they don't mind if they lose. They just love the competition. And I think Jordan is one of those guys. But to me, you have a gambling problem if you can't stop yourself. And that whole going to Atlantic City in the middle of the Eastern Conference Finals, I thought that was – and I remember when it happened, but, you know, we haven't talked about that kind of thing forever. I thought that was a little bit of a – you know, that was kind of a – that was a – that was a move that is, we would kill James Harden for that. We would kill LeBron James for that.
Here's where
Jordan
we wouldn't kill them.
Killed the same way, I don't think.
You know why he didn't get killed? Because he won the series.
That's true. And he had won two previous.
Yeah. Once you have skins on the wall, you can get away with a little bit more. If you're right, though, like if LeBron went to Atlantic City or something in the middle of a series and then ended up losing that series, he would get the heat. And honestly, Jordan probably would have gotten it too. But because it never came to be an issue, because it never was like, well, we lost because of this. There was no way to ever say to point to because they didn't lose. So to me, once you get past that, it's not that big of a deal, really.
Yeah, no, I mean that's probably accurate. And
I think even seeing guys in that series, I think seeing the guys like drinking beers after the game. Like nowadays, that would be frowned on. Back then, it wasn't a big deal, and nowadays, if you were doing it after a game and you went out the next game and owned them, it wouldn't be a big deal again. But if you go out the next game and you don't perform, people are instantly going to go, "Well, they were drinking beer after the last game."
Well, what about going to the clubs?
I mean, do we not give Harden heat when that happens?
No, we do. We do. Yeah, I think he's for that now. I also don't think, look, we didn't know they were drinking beers after games. Well, it's just weird. Basketball, drinking beer? I don't know. I'm used to that kind of stuff at baseball. It's kind of a known deal. That seemed kind of weird, a bunch of basketball players drinking beer. I don't know why that seemed strange to me. That just seemed a little bit strange to me.
Well, I was in a lot of locker rooms during that era, and they all drank beer. I mean, they had beer sitting there waiting for them, and but I want to get back to the gambling thing because I had a couple thoughts on that. First off,
okay,
I think the whole thing didn't get into it the way that I hoped it would. It kind of glossed over it and made it sound like, well, I'm rich, I don't have a problem. To your point, I think I had heard that he just didn't pay people back when he lost because, you know, as competitive as he was, if he didn't win, then he felt like somehow he got hosed and wouldn't pay people back, and that there was that was a lot of the problem, was that there were gambling debts to people that he shouldn't have been in debt with.
Oh, no, that dude, Iskinis, had the 1.2. I remember that being the beef, is that he basically outed Jordan because Jordan wouldn't pay him.
Yeah. And so I wish I'd gotten into the little bit. And my other thought about the whole thing is I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter talking about, oh, I can't believe now that anyone would ever dare compare LeBron to Jordan after watching this. Keep in mind, you're getting the best of. This isn't, you're not seeing the Tuesday night game against the Suns where he went 8-for-30, you know? I mean, and it's just, I love that people reacting.
And even
to
him missing that free throw at the end of the game where the game has to go to overtime because Jordan missed a free throw. If LeBron missed that free throw, oh my God, it would have been the end of the world.
Well, I'll give you another one. And I caught it just last night at the end of one of the games that they lost. I think it was the Knicks. It was probably game, I don't know if it was game one or game two against the Knicks. And Marv Albert, you can hear him say, you know, and the Knicks win, and the Jordan struggles in the second half, just 3-of-13. And it's a comment, but not much is made of it because we see, look, I'm one of those guys who I just don't think LeBron is in. I think he's in a conversation, but I think it's clearly Jordan. However, with that said, you make a good point, Fred, because I was thinking about that too. We're not seeing when Jordan, they didn't make a big deal showing Jordan's misses when he's 3-of-13 in the second half of a game that they lost in these Eastern Conference Finals. That's not one of the storylines. And granted, it might seem like minutia, but Mike shot poorly. That's less than 25% in the second half of an Eastern Conference Finals game. And they didn't, Marv Albert says something, so we hear it, but you didn't see clank, clank, clank. So you really are getting a highlight reel of plays. There's no in hindsight, too. You're getting the hindsight of six championships. And so it's easier to sell it that way.
And the other thing that Jordan never had to deal with, that LeBron has always had to deal with, are comparisons to the other. I mean, Jordan didn't have to play trying to live up to this magical, like, before Jordan, and maybe you guys can maybe answer this better than I can, because by the time I was into basketball, Jordan was already this mythical creature. but who was the man before Jordan that was like,
so I had
one,
one day
yeah, Jordan will be better than this guy?
I had this fight in college with my buddy Tao Gregg, who was from Chicago. And so we're this is in Jordan, like in 89, we were fighting about, and I said, dude, I said, Jordan is not even, he's not even Magic Johnson. He has no championships, and it was Magic or Bird. Those are the comparisons. And it was, it's funny because no one, I wasn't using Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I feel like Kareem has just been glossed over because he's in kind of a lost era of basketball. But it was, for me, it was always Bird or Magic, Bird or Magic. And at that time, I was arguing, Jordan's not even Magic. He doesn't make other people around him better. He just scores. He has no championships. That was the argument back then. And that same year, Jordan decided he was going to go get a bunch of assists. And all of a sudden, Jordan showed a different side of him. But it wasn't, you know, once he won the championship, then all bets are off and the conversation changes. But back then, to your point, and Fred, I don't know if you remember it the same way, but I remember it was either Larry or Magic because they were still in their heydays. And I always just opted for Magic. I thought Magic was the guy that. But there was nobody who played like Jordan. Dr. J wasn't that guy. There was nobody like Jordan.
Which you could also say now, there's no one like LeBron. There's never been anyone like LeBron. And I mean, I appreciate the greatness of both guys, and I got to see both guys in their prime, and I feel lucky to have seen both of them in their prime. And they're very different players. When you think about the style of play, like LeBron's size and speed, it's just like, to me, it's almost like it's putting a guy with these great skills into a body that we've never seen before. And I know now everyone's thinking about Zion is this. Like, we've never seen a person Zion's size do the things that Zion's able to do. And I'm sure if Zion can play a lick, eventually there will be these comparisons. But
right.
I think if LeBron was built the way Kobe Bryant was built, the discussion probably wouldn't be the same. But because we look at LeBron and we go, oh, my God, this is a superhero. Like, look at that. He's just the build of this man. This is what you would build a basketball player to look like. It almost seems like you can make more of an argument for him because of that and because there's not a body to compare him to. And not that, you know, I guess Dr. J would be the most apt comparison to Jordan at the time because Jordan's game was nothing like Bird or Magic's. So, I mean, if Dr. J was the comp, then it was easy to say, okay, Jordan's better than Dr. J. But now when you look at LeBron, there's no comp. There's no physical comp to LeBron James, which I think is why there's an argument to be made for him. And I, you know, I don't want to get into the argument of it because it lasts forever and people have just made up their mind and they're not changing their minds. But I think that's why there's an argument with him. Whereas you look at Kobe, and it's almost an apples to apples comparison with Kobe and MJ.
Kobe's screwed.
You just can't.
Kobe was always going to be. Kobe's too closely related to Jordan stylistically. Part of that was by choice. I mean, that's who he idolized.
And if LeBron's game was the same as Jordan's, maybe it's easier to compare apples to apples. But right now, it's an apples to oranges comparison. I mean, it's like saying who's better, you know, Sandy Koufax or Mickey Mantle. And there's a crazy argument to be had there, I guess, at some point, but. It's just totally different things. LeBron to MJ is almost like, you know, Magic to Kareem. Like, who was the better player? It's hard to say because they're just so different.
Can you guys imagine what the Doc would look like if Jordan played in the Maury era of the NBA, which is, you know, we'll just call it the last 8 years probably, where everything is spread and shoot threes? What a terrible documentary of nothing but shooting a ton of threes. We wouldn't get any of the acrobatic shots, the headline shots, like, holy crap, look at that.
I mean,
it would just be like, oh, look, another three.
Well, think about it. If that's the case, if that's the game, like, put those Bulls in this era, and that's why I always say, you know, the Warriors team that was so great, if you're going to compare that great Bulls team to that great Warriors team, you have to tell me when they're playing, because that great Warriors team, that great Warriors team in the mid to late 90s had no chance. But that Warriors team, or that Bulls team, you know, in today's NBA, those Warriors have about, like, think about how great a shooters John Paxson and Steve Kerr were. The Warriors have three guys better than them.
It's a really hard argument, because it depends on what officials are allowing. And then if you have to go back and say, okay, Jordan and all the players from that era would have started shooting threes earlier, they would be more accomplished because it's a skill set that they would have learned earlier. And similarly, you have to say, okay, these guys would have come up with less AAU. There would not have been the same amount of, you know, buddy-buddy stuff. They might have come up a little bit harder. They might have gotten used to a more physical, rugged brand of – I'm with you. To just – if you put them in – it's almost like a home and away. Okay, are you playing a Bulls home court? Because a Bulls home court means hand-checking and hard fouls all over the place.
And the Warriors aren't built for that.
Yeah.
And the Warriors home court means all those great – you know, the Purdue's and Winnington and Longley and really even
– they're obsolete.
Horace Grant is, I mean, those guys are useless pieces, really.
Well, none of the bigs would be able to play against Golden State. Horace Grant would have to check Draymond.
I mean, or Rodman would have to check Draymond. Rodman would have to be the center.
Yeah, God, that would be just, that's one I wish I could watch, because I would pay Rodman versus Draymond. Those two weasels getting under each other's skin would be unbelievable.
Well, and then you think about it, you go another step down the ladder, and it's like, okay, Pippen versus Kevin Durant is incredibly intriguing. You know, Iguodala on Jordan, and Iguodala may be the only guy who's got any toughness on that Warriors team who could actually give Jordan some problem. I mean, it would have been a really fun thing to watch, but you're right.
Yeah.
When you play it, to me, decides who the greater team is.
Mm-hmm. Might be right.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench every morning, Monday through Friday. And so are you having to do any, like, are you done with all your post-draft grading and stuff, too? Is that all
done
as well?
Yeah, so I finished my three favorite picks of every round. I finished my compensatory pick article, and then I just finished writing up 10 more players. So they jammed me up with a lot of stuff I had to finish, and I just got that finished today.
Hey, do you have a favorite Korean baseball league team yet?
Not yet, but I'm open. So when I pick my Premier League team, I'm open to the choice. If somebody can sway me on their favorite Korean League baseball team, I'm willing to make that, you know, I'm willing to switch. I'm willing to listen to who represents my values of baseball most closely, the way Everton does for soccer.
I'm looking hard at the Doosan Bears and the NC Dinos.
How are their bullpens? Because I'm tired of spotty bullpens.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a good question. I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah,
I'm going solely on mascots right now.
I can tell you, if La Liga and Bundesliga come back early, I'm getting way more into soccer.
Okay.
Because
you're
going to
be a soccer
coming back in mid-May, according to Dell.
You'll be our sports map expert.
Well, Dell's the expert. I'll just be on the videos with them.
Okay. Yeah, just get – listen, we can't sell Dell as a star on Sports Map, so just get the takes from him and regurgitate
them. We should do the back and forth like Skip. You can be Stephen A., and I'll be Max.
Yeah.
Arguing about Bundesliga players.
Well, we have a guy who's writing an article for Sports Map who actually spent a year in the service over in Korea and became a huge Doosan Bears fan and went to all the games. So, We've got a sports map expert.
We've got inside knowledge, Jen.
All right, Lance. Well, we appreciate the time as always, buddy. And
we'll see you guys.
Enjoy your quarantine.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Well, let's take a break. I think we went a little bit over there. I don't really care. Let's enjoy the conversation. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in on a Monday, we're just... had Lance Erline on, talked a lot about the documentary, and Greg the Beer Man asked, wasn't Jordan the final say on editing? If so, the real juicy stuff wasn't put out there, I'm guessing.
Probably not.
In all honesty, no, it wasn't. And even things that are, quote, documentaries, there's always someone's voice on it. Like Michael Moore, everything he does is from his perspective. So, you know, while they're cool, and I like a lot of them, you always have to keep in mind who has final say, who's, you know, who has what agenda in them, what they want to ignore. And there's obviously the really bad stuff isn't going to get out. It's in the end, it's going to make him look like the greatest of all time because that was the goal of it.
Yeah.
So I always go into it with a little bit of a, you know, like whose perspective and why, like the whole Joe Exotic thing, all those interviews. It's like, okay, why is this person's perspective in there? What is this person's perspective? What are they trying to accomplish with this documentary? It's really hard to do one that's just straight down the middle and talks about everything. They're out there, but it's just not that easy to do. Come on, ask you guys think Steph, Braun, or KD would be able to come back 30 years later with a doc like this. I only be asked because everything now is so transparent and instant. There's little we don't know behind the scenes.
That's true. This may be the perfect storm because we didn't have social media back then. It wasn't as things are more open now. And really, players are more open about things. And part of it is just the way, like Lance was talking about, the AAU mentality where everybody's buddies and there's no there's not a whole lot of hatred between teams in the NBA or players in the NBA, really.
Yeah, I still think, though, that you could do something like that when this generation forgets about them. And it'll be a little bit different. But there's so many people that are consuming this that didn't live through those years.
Yep.
For me and you, it's a lot of recap. It's just like, okay, yeah. I forgot about that. But for somebody who never, they just know Michael Jordan is Space Jam Michael Jordan, then this is really cool. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah, so, I mean, to my 8-year-old who was alive when the Warriors dynasty was at its peak, but wasn't old enough to and really my 12-year-old too, who aren't really old enough to understand it. Maybe there is something there where, you know, years down the road, you could look at it and go, you know what, this is a damn an interesting story here. So it, maybe there is something like that, but it would be different for sure.
Yeah, I just think we're an ADD society now. And, you know, if you didn't live through it, then you tend to just sort of dismiss it. Like, I admit, I know nothing about the Celtics championships from the 60s because I was too young to care about them. And, you know, all I know is they were 8-team leagues.
Right.
And they were winning a bunch of championships. And if I watched, would I watch a documentary on it? I don't know. I kind of hate the Celtics. But like, people didn't know about the whole, and to get to this question about who was the guy before Jordan, it was Bird versus Magic. And to a lesser extent, Dr. J, the difference was both Bird and Magic had teams full of Hall of Famers, as Michael Jordan eventually did, and Dr. J didn't until they got Moses Malone. And so, you know, those were the guys. And the fact that Bird and Magic kind of came up together, they played each other in the NCAA tournament, it added to that. But, you know, that when Jordan came along early on in his career, he was a lot like Dr. J because he hadn't won one. And then they finally got enough talent around him and they started winning titles and the legend was born. But while he was playing, they tried really hard to put somebody on his level. And he mentioned Barkley winning the MVP. Drexler, they tried to... I actually had an editor once and I got in trouble because I laughed at him. It's like, let's do a, you know,
argument why Clyde Drexler is as great as Michael Jordan. And one guy can take the Clyde Drexler side, and the other guy can take the Michael Jordan side.
And you could just say, well, I tell you what side I'm on.
Yeah, I just said, dude, that's dumb. Yeah. And, of course, he was one of my bosses at the time, and that didn't go over very well. But it was. I mean, it was like everybody was trying to force these comparisons, and there weren't any. And that was the one thing that stood out to me at the time is I remember, and we wound up doing that. We had this section called Sports 2 that we did every Sunday, and it was always some kind of topical deal like that. And that was one I did over objection. As much as I love Clyde Drexler, I'm like, you got to be joking, right? But, you know, that was kind of the mindset back then, is let's find somebody to compare to Jordan, because he didn't have what Bird and Magic had. Because Bird and Magic, you could always compare the two. And people forget how great Larry Bird was until the end, because his back, you know, messed up.
Yeah, if you think of Dream Team, Larry Bird is Larry Bird, you don't really know Larry Bird.
Yeah, because that guy was a one-man fast break, and you know, people saw this big, goofy, slow white guy, but he was such an amazing passer, and he had such quick hands that the Celtics, who might have been the slowest team in basketball, had one of the better fast breaks, just because, you know, he was so good at getting the ball up court and into the right person's hands, and again, surrounded by talent. And as much as I love Magic, and I think Magic is still one of the all-time greats, but he had a Jabbar, even at the end of his career, who was playing at an incredibly high level. He had James Worthy, who was playing at an incredibly high level. I mean, they had Hall of Famers on that team. And
that's what's funny about when I hear people complain about, oh, well, LeBron had to go so-and-so. He had to go to Miami to win a championship. Like, count the Hall of Famers that were on Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan's teams. I mean, that's just the way the NBA is. It, with very few exceptions, is it like a one-man gang winning championships. And no, it's easy to act like Jordan did it, but that's really, I mean, that's really taking a shot at what guys like Pippen and Rodman were. And it's almost not fair.
Well, in the 1 year Jordan didn't play, they still won 55 games and almost made it to the finals.
Right.
And that was without Rodman. If they have Rodman, they probably make it. And, you know, that's not to belittle Jordan in any way. It's just that you had to have a great team around you. It's like the Warriors. You have to have more than one great player. LeBron knew that. No one, you know, the closest thing is probably Dirk.
To a one-man gang? Agree.
Yeah, maybe Akeem the first year. And, you know, maybe, well, but even Duncan had, you know, Robinson for a while and then Kawhi Leonard, so I can't even.
Well, and he had Tony Parker and, I mean, Manu Ginobili. These are guys who are probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the one thing whenever people want to talk about, oh, well, how many titles? And for, to get it back to Dr. J, it's like he had Maurice Cheeks. That was his running buddy until they got Moses Malone, and then they were just incredible. And then everybody sort of fell off after that 1 year. But for one season, that team was as good as anybody. And
yeah.
But he couldn't win without those guys. And that's just that's the thing about that's why teams keep trying to put these superstars together. It's why the Rockets keep doing it. It's why the Clippers have done it. It's you can't
because historically that's what it takes.
Yeah, yeah, and you know I don't know. I mean maybe Milwaukee would have won it this year, and that would have been as close to a one man show as we've seen since probably Dirk. Not that he doesn't have players around him, but like Chris Middleton's not a guy you're going to say, oh, boy,
he's probably not a Hall of Famer.
No, and you know it's really hard to win like that. So and things have to fall your way a little bit too. But even. You know, Shaq and Kobe, when they broke up, they had to go get other great players. And that's just what it takes. And I think the thing that I hope's not getting lost is just how great the players around Jordan were, too. And the quality he had around there. We joke about the centers, the Bill Winningtons and those cats. Bill Cartwright for a while at 97 years old. But to have Pippen, to have Rodman, Horace Grant was a really good player on their first three title teams too. To have those kind of guys, I mean, that's why they were able to win so much, that and Jordan. So It's interesting. It's just like anything else. I hope people are watching it with some perspective.
Yeah.
And 832 says,
but like you said, I've heard so many people say, I can't believe they even compare LeBron to this guy, when essentially you're watching this guy's edited highlight reel. I mean, you're seeing the best of Jordan. Like, you're not seeing any of the failures. Again, I don't want to get into on this show the Jordan versus LeBron debate, but I do think there's a debate to be had. It's not just because you're watching this documentary and you're seeing how great Jordan was, and he was great. It's easy to forget about what we have currently in front of us, and especially when you put in the nostalgia of it. When you're like, oh, I remember this. This was my heyday of watching sports or whatever. A lot of people do that, and they're like, yeah, this was it. And it's easy to forget and take for granted what we have right in front of us.
Right. And, you know, again, sometimes we always romanticize the past, right?
Always.
Like that second Rockets team with Clyde, with the never underestimate the heart of a champion thing, people don't realize round one, they were down on the road in the deciding game against Utah by like 10.
Yeah.
And I was actually on the phone with a friend of mine from California. It's like, damn, oh, well, it was fun while it lasted. And they had to come back and win that. And they had a bunch of close calls until they got to the finals. And then when they swept the Magic, everybody's like, oh, wow, they were just – and they remember Akeem being dominant against David Robinson. But there were some close calls throughout that thing.
The Jazz and the Suns.
Yeah, yeah. And those are the kind of things that people forget about. But that's what we do. We tend to look back on the past and only pull out the good things. It's like an ex-wife. You know, you look back, and if you kind of miss her a little bit, you only remember the good things. You don't remember the time she slept with all your friends. So, all right, let's take a quick break. I have a gem of the day that involves hot Russian women, AJ. How about that?
All right.
We'll do that when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And been a fun show so far. Been a fun bunch of shows. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it. Curious if any of you are back in your cars now, if you're still listening at home, hit me up on the text line, let me know. And I'm going to make the sequel to Jesus available for one more week, and then I'm going to shut it down. So if you want it, just email me at fowler975@gmail.com. I will send you a copy. If you want to pay for it, great. If you don't, that's fine, but I'm going to shut it down after a week because the actual published version will come out next year, and you know, I've probably given away 200 or 300 free ones so far. So, just email me and say, "Hey, I'd like a copy of the book." I'll give you the information if you want to pay, but you don't, no worries. I'm not keeping score. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, this one involves hot Russian women and quarantine. So we'll start with that. The victim is named Tatiana Narazanova. She was living with her 27-year-old friend, Daria Alyabayeva, during the lockdown. And apparently, you know, these two knew each other from California, and she invited Daria to stay with her in New York. Daria, very, very hot, I must say.
Okay.
And apparently Daria was drinking too much. In fact, said she's always had a drinking and partying problem. Shocker, you know, hot Russian chick. But apparently, once they got to New York, they were hoping that, you know, the pandemic would slow it down. Apparently, Daria got worse while confined indoors, allegedly drinking at all hours of the day. And it finally boiled over. And Tatiana got upset because she found a whiskey cup in the living room after she'd told Daria to only drink in her room. She threw it in the sink, and that allegedly set Daria off. She grabbed a knife and hacked away at Tatiana,
oh boy,
leaving her with multiple stab wounds and bleeding profusely. Fortunately, the paramedics were able to save her after taking her to the hospital. They nabbed Daria 8 days later, booked her on attempted murder and assault with a deadly weapon charge.
That's assault, brother.
Daria allegedly stabbed Tatiana in the abdomen, hip, shoulder, face, armpit, and hands. And we're told Daria said, "Die, bitch, die," after the alleged attack.
Damn. Was it that bitch Carol Baskin?
It was not that bitch Carol Baskin. It was that bitch Daria Aliyabaeva.
Who's worse, though?
That's a good question. I mean, Carol Baskin got away with it.
That's true.
So I'm gonna go with Daria's worse.
Okay.
She got caught.
All right.
And I don't know if you saw the story, but Carol Baskin's husband's lawyer thinks that they threw him out of an airplane into the Gulf. Carol Baskin still did it.
Right.
But, yeah. So anyway.
Do we really care what happened to him after that?
No. Well, I do think it's cooler if he got eaten by tigers.
And it makes for a better story, certainly.
Yeah. It certainly adds to the bizarreness of the whole thing, but that takes it to a different level. But, yeah, the cut to Tatiana's face is about 3 inches long. She experienced numbness in her fingers and has no feeling in the top half of her leg where she was stabbed in the hip. So let this be a lesson. Well, really hot women in general, you know, they have issues. Let's be honest. Hot Russian women who drink too much might stab you. That's a PSA.
Yeah.
So before you get involved, just... Well, I told you about that Russian doctor I dated. She was a nut. I mean, she was scary.
She was dating you.
Well, of course. So,
not wise guys.
You know, at the time, I was almost handsome. I was in really good shape. I was like 40 years old, and I'd been working out like a fiend and, you know, eating steroids and all kinds of other stuff, and actually looked pretty good. So...
You know, I'd say Carol is worse because we know she killed her husband. That Tatiana chick didn't actually kill her. She just, you know, severely injured her.
That's true.
We know Carol's a murderer.
Daria, not Tatiana. Tatiana is the victim in this.
Oh, okay. Well, the stabber didn't actually succeed in making the bitch die.
That's true.
Well, she did try, though. So, you know what? Maybe you're right, because in the end, I think she's kind of a failure.
Now, that bitch Carol Baskin knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She knows you got to put a little bit of sardine oil on their boots.
Well, see, you know what? Maybe Tatiana had a point. If she hadn't been drinking so much, she might have figured out how to kill her better. just a thought. Yeah. All right, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And, just some fun little Rona lockdown stories for you.
I
know everybody's getting sick of everybody. I have at no point thought... And I've probably been bitched at for drinking too much. Let's just throw that out there. At no point did I think, I'm going to grab a knife and just slice her up.
You haven't even thought about it?
No. So, you know what? I'm just going to go downstairs and mind my own business and drink some more.
Okay.
So. Oh, man. You know, that's But I try to be a reasonable person, AJ. I try not to go out and just whack people for no reason.
That's good of you.
I like for there to be a reason, you know.
That's responsible, Fred.
Oh, man, apparently this Extraction was such a big hit, they're talking about a prequel or a sequel now. I was just reading a thing about it. But they kind of like the idea of turning it into a whole action series. Which, man, it's interesting to me the things that pop now. Like, obviously that, The Witcher, mm-hmm. got, you know, that was, you know, that one was really successful. And, I mean, I liked it. I was surprised it was as that successful, but I guess that one had a video game tie. I just think this one's timing. It's just like the Joe Exotic thing. There's just nothing else. And you get a big movie with Thor in it, and people are going to watch it.
Well, so. did you see that they are going to do a show about Joe Exotic, and they named who was going to play him?
Is it Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage.
I think he'll be good at it. I don't really need that story. That one is one where the true story is so bizarre.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, what's the point? You can't beat it.
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing you can put in there that's going to outdo the documentary, so why do it?
Yeah.
And that's just my humble opium.
It's like with cats. Like, why, they've talked about making a movie about it. It's like, why, I mean, the real thing was so great. Why mess with it?
Well, how good can it be? All you're doing is trying to, you're trying to piggyback off of something that was really successful. And okay, I get that people like to do that. But the reality is, I mean, it was successful because it was so bizarre on its own. And I was joking about trying to write fiction while I'm watching this and feeling so insignificant, because it's just stuff that can't be made up. And I don't think you can duplicate it in a drama. But we'll see. I mean, that's Hollywood, though, right? Oh, let's, you know, it's just like doing remakes and reboots and everything else. It's like, oh, let's not be creative. Let's just take something that's popular and see what we can do with it. All right, lots of stuff to get to in the next hour, which is already here. It just ran right up on us again. And you know what? I think I'm going to run upstairs and grab me a Carbach on this break.
That's a nice move, my man. Yeah, I got to tell you guys about Carbach. And the great thing about Carbach is they're not only, you know, helping out where they can during these trying times, but they do it year-round. The Crawford Bach Beer supports the Astros organization year-round, the Astros Foundation. The Coastal Conservation Ale supports CCA of Texas year-round. And they've got something for everybody. That's a great thing about Carbach. If you're into a certain kind of beer, they've got you. If you're looking to try something new, they've got you. Whether it's the IPA series that they've got, there's a ton of different IPAs available right now. There's the Hellfighter, if you can find the BBH, they're fantastic. Down to the Love Street Kolsch, which is a great, you know, entry beer for any craft beer drinker, a really easy way to get started. Guys, there's something for everyone from Carbach. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to see when things are going to get back to normal at the brewery. But until then, make sure you stop at the grocery store and grab yourself some Carbach.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.